सफेद उर्स मान लीजिए एंड स्ट्रेटन योर उर्स.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
انشاءاللہ بقیہ دعاؤں کے بعد درس قرآن ہوگا انشاءاللہ after the remaining دعا درس of قرآن with you please Brothers are requested to come close and shall I be very beneficial.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم 80 جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا وأولئك هم الفاسقون إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم والذين يرمون أزواجهم ولم يكن لهم شهداء إلا أنفسهم فشهادة أحدهم أربع شهادات بالله إنه لمن الصادقين والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين ويدرأ عنها العذاب أن تشهد أربع شهادات بالله إنه لمن الكاذبين والخامسة أن غضب الله عليها إن كان من الصادقين ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله تواب حكيم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين سورة النور مدنية This is سورة النور The chapter, the verse, the surah of نور Light, a spiritual light سورة أنزلناها This is a surah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أنزلناها which we revealed وفرضناها and we made it فرض i.e. The ahkam which are mentioned within this surah are fard. وَأَنزَلْنَا فِيهَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ And we revealed in it clear ayat, clear verses. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ So that you may remember them and carry them out if necessary. Or لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ So that you may take lesson. الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلَّةٍ The adulteress and the adulterer, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا Give 100 lashes to each one of them. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَ And let softness not take you فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ In the religion of Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ If you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the final day. وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And let a group of believing people witness their punishment. الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي The adulteress and the adulterer. Like I mentioned before, that the reason why الزَّانِيَة, the adulteress is mentioned first is because the likelihood of a, or the قَبَاحَةُ and the crime and the foul play involved in a woman doing zina is much more. Because by nature, a woman has haya. Tabiat ke andar, ek tabi'i haya Allah ne rakhi hai. And because of that natural haya which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in a woman, if a woman, na'udhu billah, is engaged in zina, then she has even crossed that protective barrier and that bubble wrap that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put around her. So it's worse for her, worse from coming from a woman. الزانية والزاني فجلدوا كل واحد منهما Give each one of them 100 lashes. And these 100 lashes is for a zani or a zania, an adulteress or an adulterer who are not married. If they are married, then the punishment is rajam. They will be stoned to death. This punishment is not mentioned in the Quran. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would say that if people were not to say that I have added into the book of Allah, then I would have written and order it that it be written in the Masahif and the Qur'ans that the Ash-Shaykhu wa-Shaykhatu wa-Shaykhu farjimuhum, that the old person, or when it says old person, it means the married person. The married person, male and female, farjumuhum, that you need to stone them if they zina. Zanaya, farjumuhum. If they do zina, then you need to stone them. The punishment for a person who is married is more. Why? Because he has an outlet for himself. He has a way where he can save. It's easier for him to save himself from haram. We learn from here, one of the maqasid and the objectives behind nikah, and that is so that a person can protect his private parts. So my young friends who are not even, one is that, you know, the suitable spouse is not available. You can't find the suitable spouse. And I've already spoken on this in length about why we can't. بلکہ اس پر گفتگو باقی ہے فیمنزم. I didn't speak on it. یاد ہے کسی کو؟ نہیں ہوئی نا؟ Feminism. Thinking of feminism is a very, very dangerous poison which has crept into our society. And look, I'm not here to hurt anyone. And whoever listened to the Dars last week and the Durus last week, I spoke at length about the problems that the men come forward with and where the men need to work on themselves. But it would be unfair if I was to only speak and tell the men what we need to do without telling the women and their sisters what they need to do. And one of the main reasons why there is a disparity and there is breaking of many nikah, many a nikah are broken because of this poison of feminism. What is feminism? In simple terms, feminism is the notion that society has been unfair towards women for so many years. So now we need to start fighting our own. We need to start fighting our own. And in doing so, so many things are, you know, trampled upon. So many realities are ignored. So many haqaiq and so many truths are thrown behind the back. Because there is only one focus, that I need to become equal. I need to become the same as a man. And this is foolish for a number of reasons. Number one, no one can deny the difference in the nature between man and woman. You know, if a man was to say, I want equality, and I want to be exactly as a woman, and now I want to give birth as well, if a woman is of a sound mind, she will say, you're talking nonsense. بَوْقُوفِ كِي بَاتْ كَرْرَيْهِ. You know, that is something special for women. So the same way, there are certain qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in men. And these qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in men, because of that, there are different treatments. You know, in a particular business, a particular company, if everyone was to say that I want full equality, then the person who is a uneducated toilet cleaner, the janitor, if he says I want equality, and equality means uniformity, then I want to sit on the CEO's chair, and I want to have the same, you know, I can sign off whatever I want, and I want to make strike whatever business deals for the company I want, then, you know, the business will fall apart. Equality doesn't mean uniformity. Equality means that as human rights, they will be given just to both. So, for example's sake, the janitor will also be given a break, and the CEO will also be given a break. But that doesn't mean uniformity. The CEO, he can take a break whenever he wants, because he's always working on the business. He'll take calls out of hours as well. No one's going to call the janitor to clean the toilet out of hours. So because of their role, because of the nature of their job, the distribution of rights may vary. But the rights will be there. The rights will be there. If we look, you know, I always say, if you feel, you know, Islam is very far ahead. Islam is too perfect. It's too perfect. There's no faults. I'm saying this, Islam has no faults. There is no fault in any ruling of Islam. Nowhere. You cannot find a fault. Anyone who brings a fault that, you know, Islam said X, Y, and Z, and the problem with that is X, Y, and Z, then he's only looked at it from one angle. A person who either himself, which is very unlikely, but if someone ponders closely or listens to an alim and, you know, puts the problems or the questions he may have with regards to a particular shari'i ruling, he puts it before an alim, then the alim will be very easily be able to explain why that in that particular scenario, the decision of sharia is the best possible scenario. In every single juncture, sharia is too perfect. And the reason why is because it's from Allah. You see, as humans, we are subject to our environment. We are subject to what becomes normal at a particular time. That is why we say that the morality of the West, and not just the West, any moral standard presented by the humans is subjective. It will change. Today it's something, tomorrow it's something else. Today it's something, yesterday it was something else. You know, forget time, go from place to place. In America, there are certain states where the age of marriage is 15. And in other states it's 16. And in other states it's 18. I believe there's one state that has the age of 14 as well. Japan, till many years, I'm not sure if it's changed, has allowed marriage at the age of 13. So let's, you know, just look at within America. It's supposed to be the face of the modern world, the advanced world. Well, that means those people who are living in the state where it's 16, if he steps from border A to border B, then he's committed a crime because he got married at the age of 16, consent. Or the people who are living in state A, where the age is 16, when they look at the people living in state B, where the age is 15, they will all say that you are paedophiles. Underage marriage. Subjective. Islamic morals, the way Islam has set up, it's not subjective. It's directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala knows, or He knew what was, He knows what is, and He knows what will be. And in light of all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for X, Y, and Z scenario, this is the ruling. For X, Y crime, this is the ruling. For X, Y crime, this is the ruling. And you know, if you want to look at the Islamic stance on theft, stealing. So, you know, we can talk about it in different ways. But we have a live example. Medina Munawwara and Makkah Mukarram, especially Medina Munawwara. You know, the peace that you feel in Medina Munawwara and the comfort you feel over your goods, you don't feel it anywhere else. I mentioned it last week as well, that in Medina Munawwara, even in Makkah, in general in Muslim countries where the law is upheld, a gold shop in the UK has two doors. A gold shop in the UK has two doors. So you have to go through one door, then that door behind you will lock. And then the front door, the second door will let you in. Why? So that you can't get a gang to steal the gold. It's too dangerous. It happens too often. And when you want to leave, you have to first wait. Someone will let you out the inside door. Then you wait in that little area. And then in Medina Munawwara, if you go to certain shops, the doors open from both sides. And the shop owner is on his phone as well because there's no customers. And he's, you know, in his own world. Because Islam has given that the ruling. Why don't people steal in Medina Munawwara? You know, why don't people steal? It's not like everybody's so pious and everyone, you know, respects the fact that it's Medina Munawwara. You don't also find people that play music in Medina Munawwara. You know? So it's not because they respect the area. It's because they're scared. The objective behind the punishment, you know, if the punishment doesn't serve the purpose of a warning, then, you know, it's just, you know, small talk. It's small talk. There's no reason why I shouldn't do X, Y, and Z. So Sharia is extremely perfect. And the ruling which Sharia gives in every scenario, you know, and not just ruling, the way Islam has dealt with men and women, it is extremely fair, my friends. It is extremely fair. You know, this concept which women have been tricked into, that the woman should also go out and earn. You know, if the men can earn, we can also go out and earn. You can do many things, but does that mean it will work? Does that mean it that, you know, that's the best way to go about things? So look, let me give you an example. Islam says that the woman should stay at home and nurture the children. So first of all, our sisters need to understand that this isn't because you are low or because Islam thinks you're incapable. No. Islam understands the nature of a woman and her qualities. So for example, her haya, her chastity, her modesty. To protect that, she should stay in the home. Why? Well, look at the statistics. 1 in 3 women in the UK have gone through some sort of sexual harassment in the workplace. The statistics speak themselves. In America, I think it's 1 in every 2. You know? So they speak for themselves. Okay, that's one aspect. The second aspect, the men may say that, you know, okay, why should, the women will say, you know, why should the men be allowed to go out and work? Why do we have to stay at home? Well, then let's turn it around. The men have to stay at home, the women have to go out and work. So the men will say, why do I have to stay at home? So alternatives three, the third alternative, let both go out and work. So there's many problems there as well, and many families do this as well. What are the problems? The mother is the first madrasa and the first school of this child, of the children. But the mother's too busy working, and when she comes home, she can just about put the food on the table. Mentally she's drained, time-wise she hasn't got anything left in her. So what input will there be in the children? And now because there's no input in the children who should grow up and be an asset and a commodity for society, rather than that, they become a bodge and a burden on society. There's nothing valuable about them. Now, crime is on the up. Crime is on the up. Lack of education, it's on the up. Lack of discipline, it's on the up. Lack of taking responsibility, it's on the up. All of this is because moving away from this Islamic model, where the wife, she is in the full-time job of nurturing the children. It is a khidmah, it is a service. That is why there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, walidatun, these mothers, hamilatun, who bear children. And they do, you know, they if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are mothers and they bear children. And if they were to do that and perform their salah and their fara'id, and after that not be disobedient to their husbands, then they will enter into Jannah. That's all they have to do. Why? You know, why is there so much emphasis on she should be obedient to her husband? You know, this is unfair. No, it's not unfair. This is because of a reality. It is the same reality and same principle which is applied on a government level. That the, you know, the citizens and the civilians must obey the government. Does that mean that the government is better than us? Does anyone feel here that the government is more superior to us? No. But in order for a society to run, you have to have that authority. If the civilians were to say, why should the government have this authority? We're going to have authority. Then you will have anarchy. You will have civil riots. So similarly in the home, there has to be a leader and there has to be those who follow the leader. And anyone who disturbs this equilibrium, if it's on a government level, then you will have civil war. You will have civil riots. You will have civil unrest. And if you have it in a home, then that home will be turned upside down. Yes, the man, he needs to fulfill his responsibility of being caring, of being making a mature decision when needed, of providing when needed. That is why the Quran says with regards to men, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that men are قوام al-nisa, over the women. Many people misquote this verse and say the men are superior. No, that's not what it says. Superiority in the deen, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is on two things only. And both of these things are ikhtiyari, in a person's control. One is a person's a'mal and the other is his qalb, his spiritual condition. Otherwise, his wealth, his status, his strength, his physical appearance, it doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ. And another narration, وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your face and your body or your wealth. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرِ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. He looks at your heart and your actions. Because these two are in a person's control. I always, you know, to put into perspective what this means is that Aisha radiallahu anha, do any of us feel that we are anywhere close to the maqam and the superiority of Aisha radiallahu anha? But she was a woman. She was a woman. If Islam was unfair, then Aisha radiallahu anha, as pious as she was, she starts after men. No. We feel that collectively Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, when it's disrespectful for us to even compare. That's how lofty she was. But she was a woman. Because in Sharia, superiority is based on ikhtiyari, controllable things. Something that you can or can't do. If a woman can do lots of amal, then it will be based on that. And if a man is shortfalling in his amal, then he will be behind. Superiority is based on ikhtiyari. And this qawwam, what does qawwam mean? Qawwam is the same word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Who is Allah? He is qayyum. The one who controls the affairs of samawati wal ard, the heavens and the earth. Yani dunya, puri dunya alam ka jo nazm hai. The setup of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for making sure it goes smoothly. So the man is qayyum in the home. He is responsible that this home, how can it be the best home and the inhabitants of this home and this family, what is the best thing, what is their greatest interest and benefits, he needs to provide that. So really he's responsible. Over here, the man is not being told of a perk of his, he is being told of a job of his, that you need to look after the home. It's your responsibility to make sure this home flourishes as best as it can. It's not because he's superior. So feminism, my friends, you know, one of the leaders of feminism, especially the second wave of feminism, which happened, you know, around the 1950s and 60s, 70s, Betty Friedan, a very silly woman, you know, she writes in, she wrote a booklet or a book, and in there she said that a woman, the modern day woman, is in a comfortable concentration camp in her home. A housewife is in a comfortable concentration camp. So how can a concentration camp be comfortable? You know, it's ridiculous. But 20 years later she says that was an extreme statement. That was a extreme statement. It's silly. You know, another feminist, she put forward, you know, she was one of the leaders of feminism, but she writes in one of her books that, you know, my husband was coming home and I was preparing food for him because I feel like he is my true superior. It's very ironic coming from a feminist. You know, even Islam doesn't say that. Islam doesn't say that the husband is superior. He's more responsible and he's got a greater role. He's got a more dominant role because of certain qualities. But Islam doesn't say that he's superior. Like I said, superiority and inferiority is based on your amal and your qalb, your spiritual condition. So this, you know, this feminist movement, my friends, it has ruined many homes and it has moved our sisters from their basic human understanding. There are many homes where the husband, he says that, you know, I've heard this from Mullah Sahib Nawab Sahib, hafidhahullah. He said that a woman or a husband, you know, he divorced his wife. And the wife was saying that, you know, it was because of X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z. So he wrote a letter, and via Malana he sent this letter saying that, you know, among many other things that you used to do, one of them was, whenever I would ask you for a cup of water, you would say to me, am I your slave? Get it yourself. What is this? Can you not get a cup of water for your husband? And the husband shouldn't feel, you know, belittled as well, that he has to get his wife a cup of water. I'm the master. You know, how can I get her a cup of water? Behave as humans. Behave as humans. You know, to serve someone does not make you low. Rather, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the opposite. Sayyidul qawmi khadimuhum. Sayyidul qawmi khadimuhum. This hadith has two interpretations. One is that Sayyidul Qawm, the leader of a people, is their khadim, is their servant. If you are a leader, then you have to serve the people. You're not on some perk. The modern day leader, it is a perk. It is a, you know, prestige. You get, you know, all the protocol. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if you were the leader, it meant that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, whilst the whole Medina Munawwara is sleeping, he is going around checking, is everything fine? That's what Sayyidul Qawm meant. That's what a leader meant. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, a number of women, old women, widows, they started to cry. Why? Who's going to milk our animals for us now? Sayyidul Qawm. It wasn't a perk, it was a responsibility. And the other interpretation is that Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum, ay Khadimul Qawmi Sayyiduhum. The one who serves the people, he will become the leader. Everyone will treat this person as the best amongst us. If a person serves the community for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the community will feel that this is our leader. So, you know, time doesn't permit, but this, you know, this feminist understanding, our sisters need to understand, it's not there for your own good. Islam has not trodden on women's rights. If a person truly believes that Islam is unfair towards a woman, then she needs to write to a mufti and ask that, am I still in the fold of Islam? Because it's no joking matter. Many women have heard it myself, that Islam is a bit biased towards women, against women. Na'udhu billah. You know, Islam is a bit biased towards women. This statement, put it before a mufti and say that, you know, a person who says this, are they still in the fold of Islam? So Islam is not unfair towards women, Islam is real. Islam looks at both, you know, the conditions of a woman. Many women, because of this feminist movement, they say, I'm not going to have children. Why should we have children? So are the men going to have children? And number two, my dear Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sulaiman Sahib, would say that, you know, women, this thought has been put that, you know, women are just baby-making machines. So he would say, women are just baby-making machines. Women are baby-makers. Why is that something so small? This woman is becoming a means to bringing another life into existence through the permission of Allah. But that's not something small. That's a great honor. It's such a great honor that a woman, as soon as she gives birth to this child, the Sharia says, "Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat." Now, under your feet, we have placed Jannah for this child. This child, if it serves you properly, Jannah is for this child. So it's not just a baby making, you know, a job that, you know, you just churn out babies. You know, just by her becoming a mother, that is her status. For a wife, if she fulfills her responsibilities to her husband, you know, look, Jannah is given on great deeds. Jannah is given through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each person needs to do good deeds, very great deeds. And the greater the deed, the more Allah will give. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to the women that if they order their fara'id, if they carry out their fara'id and the necessary acts which Sharia has told them to do, and after that, one more thing, be obedient to your husbands, you will get Jannah. What does that mean? That the fara'id, along with being obedient to your husband, is a great amal. It's not something small. It's a great amal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, you know, a sister or a daughter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, the point I was trying to mention is that Islamic morals are objective. And that is why they didn't change over time. If you look at how human rights, well, they came from here to here to here to here, and this is where we are right now. And the truth is that they've gone past the rights that should be given. Similarly with women's rights, they were at zero, and then they became hero, and they've gone beyond that now. But Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and within 23 years, he said, this is the rights that women will be given, this is the rights that the animals will be given, this is the right that the husband has, this is the right that the wife has. Why? Because it's not subjective, it's objective. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, that's wrong, that's right, this is right. There was no debating or, you know, it's still a bit unfair, because it's objective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew exactly what he was going to say. And in the environment where a woman, if she was to be divorced, then she would have to stay in her home for a whole year and not bathe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, that's rubbish. For a child to be, for a father to see a daughter born for him, it was so bad that the Quran says that he ponders, that should I keep it or am yadussuhu fit turab? Shall I trample it into the ground? Zameen mosko tosdu. That what a burden a daughter was. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the complete polar opposite, because he was speaking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, but if the person who is given a daughter and he looks after his daughter, then he will be given so and so ni'mah in Jannah. He will be given so and so ni'mah in Jannah. Why? Because it's objective morality. It's not subjective. Islam doesn't come under pressure from people. How can you pressure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my friends, my sisters listening at home, and as Muslims, many a time these objections come in front of us and we say, you know, Islam's a bit... No. Think about it positive. Think about it as it is. Look at the ruling with regards to inheritance. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيِينَ. The male will be given, the brother will be given double that the sister is given. So if there is one brother, two brothers, one sister, then there will be five parts made. One part for the sister, and the brothers will get two parts each. So we said, look, that's clearly unfair. Favoritism. No, if anyone can complain here, it's the men. If anyone has, you know, the men shouldn't complain because this is taqreer from Allah. But if anyone had room to complain, it would be the men. Why? Because basically, this woman has been given free spending money. Why? Because the woman is either a daughter, or a wife, or a sister, or a mother. She's one of these. If she's a mother, then the children will have to look after her. If her husband has passed away, then her father or children will have to look after her. If she's a sister, then her father or her sons or her brothers will have to look after her. Will have to look after monetarily. If she's a daughter, again, the father, the son, or the brothers, and then after the uncles, grandfather, grandchildren, they have to look after. So she's been given money, and the men, you know, the men should have said, give it all to us because we're going to have to spend it on you anyway. But no, Islam says you can have your little bit as well. So if you look at it from one angle, it may look unfair. But you have to look Islam as a whole. You have to look Islam as a whole. You know, if someone says that, you know, it's very unfair, if I cross the traffic light, then I get a ticket. You know, you can't just talk about, you know, so what if you got a ticket? What about if you cross the light and you hit someone and kill someone? So that's why there's a traffic light camera there. So you can't just look at it from one aspect and say, you know, Islam is unfair. You either have to have the whole picture. And if you don't have the whole picture, then you don't understand it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bewakuf tolitab. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't some unintelligent. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. And Islam still says something, that means there must be something there. Build this attitude within you. Build this attitude within you. If I don't get the perfection here, then the nooks and the fault is in my understanding, not in the Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the... Subhanahu wa ta'ala.